Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. It's always good to be with you. And we would encourage you to also visit our TV show today at thecommonsenseshow.tv. And we're putting together some killer shows there where we do in-depth documentaries with experts. And we kind of do the same thing here too, but we kind of separate what we cover. So you want to check that out. Hey, I don't think you have a long time to get your preps in order. I really don't. I think we're moving headlong towards nuclear war. The missiles we're sending over, long-range missiles, Putin's not going to tolerate that. He's going to pull out the tactical nukes. So once you do that, once you're at war, you're not going to get food. The food you'll have will be what's in your house, and if they don't come and confiscate it, so you better learn to hide it. But we want you to get the best durable food that's out there. We want you to go to foodwithdave.com, and you'll get 25-year shelf life from My Patriot Supply, restaurant-quality food, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks for the kids, 2,000 calories per day. It's the best on the market. It's still operating at full capacity and at a greatly reduced price. They have sales in effect, and you'll want to check this out. Go to foodwithdave.com. And there was just a panel that was convened. I'm going to do a story on this on YouTube. But the panel was comprised of Woolsey, former CIA director Newt Gingrich, and a bunch of other executive branch officials who know about EMP attacks. And they say an EMP attack is very, very close at hand. And I'm just saying, do you have your stuff in order? You're going to have to scavenge water. Do you have water filtration, for example? Well, we do. The Alexa Pure Pro water filter is the best in the business. They publish their research to show you they're number one. You can see that at waterwithdave.com. And this particular filter is on sale right now for a short time and while supplies last. And that's a key with this product. So you'll want to go to waterwithdave.com. That's waterwithdave.com. And by the way, we're happy to be carrying all of Mike Lindell's products. And that's all his sheets, his pillow casings, his slippers, everything for at least half off. Sometimes it's 75 to 90% off. And you can pull up our entire coupon for the Common Sense Show audience at mypillow.com/Hodges. Don't forget, coupon code is Hodges. Easy to remember. mypillow.com/Hodges. Coupon code Hodges. Well, we have John Wayne back with us. And I asked him to come back because he sent me some very provocative articles that really give us some historical context to what we're going to go through. And I've asked John to come on and talk about this. John, let me ask you a question. I'm getting reports of rumors that there actually was an explosion over Montana and that the balloon was being blamed for it. It could have been a beta test. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if the event happened. Do you know anything about this?
You know, I saw a video which purported to show a contrail from a fighter jet, and it, you know, two flashes, and you hear a bang. So something happened over Montana. I don't know exactly what, but something did occur.
Okay.
You know,
that's kind of the vague report I'm getting too. So, interesting. One person told me that they had information that the weather balloon actually locked on to one of our fighter jets monitoring it, and that's why there was offensive action taken. And by the way, Doug Thornton and I, my broadcast partner on the Doug and Dave Intel Report, he and I both have the same information. There were 8 so-called weather balloons, spy balloons from China, not one. And all you have to do to make sense of that is look at the map. I mean, the pattern's about as irregular as you get. All right, so go ahead, John.
I'd have to say that, you know, some of these would have to have been launched by sea-based. And why I say that is because of the size of the balloons, the size of the payloads, and, you know, just the physics for which they, you know, get these things off the ground. Sometimes, you know, they can't launch these things off the ground as easily as they could off of a ship. Mm-hmm. That would make sense for why, you know, I mean, look, because, I mean, for one, I mean, balloons, I mean, I imagine they probably could, but I highly doubt a balloon is going to float all the way from China to the United States. I don't buy that. So they would have had to have been sea-based launch. You know, but what was it doing is the big question. And I've heard a few different things, but, you mean, I would assume that the stories that I've heard I mean, now assuming this, I want to state this first, because this is what I said at my broadcast there just this last Saturday. I said that what I believe this very well may be, this might be a ruse by the deep state, because we've got the same kind of technology, the balloons and the whole nine yards, the systems, the sensors and everything, to do this, you know, and that'd be Raven Aerostar and TCOM Holdings, two different organizations, but now they're one organization because TCOM Holdings bought out Raven Aerostar at the end of last year. Now, like, what was I saying here? With the tests that, you know, were conducted, you know, all throughout the 50s up into the 60s, you know, nuclear. So, you know, it makes me wonder, you know, if this is not what it appears to be. See, because one reason why I question this is when you see all of the mainstream media grab onto one narrative and run with it as if it's a football towards the end zone, watch out. You know, so expect the exact opposite. We know they want to go to war with China by 2025, and they need to provoke the people's minds and get everybody, you know, into that stance if they want to be able to accomplish going to war directly with China. Because if the American people go completely and totally and utterly against it, you know, well, chances are that, I mean, that's going to complicate things in ways for which, you know, probably won't be able to be reversed. I mean, there's war coming regardless, either way, for what we're looking at. You want to say something. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, yeah, you've touched on a lot of really good points here. The one thing that I would say is that this administration is determined to provoke Putin. I learned today that we're sending long-range missiles to Ukraine. That's the greatest weapon threat that they face right now. I think that's bigger than the Patriot missiles. Right. That it brings Moscow and some of their industrial cities into targeting. So right there, that says to Putin, we can get you. And he's not going to let that happen. He will launch a preemptive tactical nuclear strike, and the war will be on.
He sure will, you know. And I mean, I want to add to, like, with this, I mean, I don't so I there's somebody I talked to, and he sent me a couple of things here, and I was looking, and I want to read what he was saying here. And these are two predictions from, I guess, AI predictions. And I'm going to find them. Let's see here. Okay. So I'll read this. So Google AI allowed everyone to ask three questions who subscribed. One of the questions was, when does Biden die? The answer says, President Biden dies of a heart attack in August of 2023. Another question asked of the Alexis device was, Alexis, when does World War III start? Alexis says World War III starts on November 22nd at 6:05 p.m. in 2023 when Russia attacks Germany. So those are two things that I don't know. With that being said, the person that said that, I mean, he's been right about a few things in the past, and I'm going to see if he's right about these. But I mean, but it just goes to show we're in extremely dangerous and precarious times.
Well, I don't know that we have until November. Russia to move their tanks into Ukraine need hard ground from the winter. That's approaching very quickly. I don't know what they gain by waiting 9 months. They know that the long-range missiles are coming. They know the F-16s will be coming as well. And so the question I would have is, why would you wait to get attacked? Why Putin's MO would be to take offensive action, preemptive action?
Well, I think it's because of the form of warfare for which they've been fighting. You know, I mean, they go up, they meet contact with the front line, and then they have a feint, where a feint is you fall back into pre-positioned. Military forces, you know, so then the Ukrainians think, okay, well, the Russians are on the retreat. The Russians are on the run. Well, no, they are, you know, so here come the Ukrainians. Now they are literally, you know, in direct artillery fire. And then, you know, all the stuff that's behind the feigning force. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing to see how all of this is taking place. But the one thing that would literally change the absolute aspect of everything would be the deployment of a nuclear weapon. And one thing I say, and I've said it a few different times, that explosion on Tonga Hunga Tonga Ha'apai, that island in the Pacific, when that blew up, I was like, yeah, that's pretty big. And some of you, I mean, I'd even seen an object look like it was like going towards the island and it exploded. I think that was a test, because not too long after that, all kinds of stuff began moving in the geopolitical field and only in the, you know, military field, and the destabilization really began there with Ukraine, Russia, you know, all the stuff going on there, and then everything moving between. But was that a nuclear bomb? I mean, it could have been. How many, there have been tests that have been done by the United States government. And they, you know, Operation Hardtack 1, Operation Plumb Bob, and then Operation Fishbowl. I mean, stupid names, right?
Yeah, but not stupid in their effect.
That's right. You know, it's interesting for how all this is. You know, I mean, in Operation Plumb Bob alone, I mean, my goodness, I think there's, I'd have to count them, but I'd say maybe at least 20 or so odd tests in that one operation. But the one I really was focusing on is because of this balloon incident over the United States was Yucca, and that was out of Operation Hardtack 1. And that was a balloon where they detonated a nuclear device of 1.7 kilotons, 86,000 feet in the air. And when they did this, they knew it was going to cause an electromagnetic pulse, an EMP. And that's one of the reasons why they did this, is because they were testing the effects on, you know, the grid, for lack of a better term. Let's say, okay, the military grid, you know, radio communications, signets, you know, signals intelligence, all that different stuff. Obviously, a nuclear bomb that creates an EMP is going to affect that stuff. So they're testing to see what they could do to, you know, shield against it. You know, this isn't new. You know, I mean, people are, you know, I just find it amazing how everybody just literally latched onto this balloon theory. And as quick as everybody did, I mean, I don't know, I'm the one, I always sit back and say, okay, well, you know, I want us to look at the different narratives too. You know, I want to see, you know, which person is going, I mean, or which team, which entity, which country, which world power is going to, you know, literally cross the Rubicon. Because once we cross that line of nuclear war, it don't matter no more. Everybody will start, you know what, we can do whatever we want.
Well, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think, like I said, and I've said it and stated it before, I believe that the United States is going to be hit with some kind of a false flag event. I mean, you know, 9/11 times 5. And the only EMP. Thing I can see what would happen, EMP, mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. That's what Doug Thornton thinks, too. He's been saying it for months.
You know, and the thing is, I mean, they're able to do this with, you know, balloons. And like I said, people look into it. Operation Hardtack 1, Yucca, Y-U-C-C-A, and read up on it. You know, it's nothing new. But, I mean, what an absolutely ingenious way to move a device into position, wherever it may be. You know? But you would think that these would have to be picked up by all kinds of radar and NORAD and so on and so forth. So that's one thing that I ask, is why wasn't this shot down over the Aleutian Islands? Why was it allotted to go all the way across Alaska, down through Canada, down into the United States through Montana, and then all the way through the country? Well, because somebody had allowed whatever it was doing to do what it was doing. before it was allowed to be destroyed.
What do you think it was doing?
Man, the direction for which it took was extremely precarious because it flew over, I want to say, like 35 different, high-level military locations. Manoa Air Force Base, Malmstrom for one, that's up there in Montana. But when it tracked down through Kansas City, it had to have went by, Lincoln, Nebraska, Omaha, Offutt Air Force Base, anywhere in between there and down, moving east. I mean,
Strategic Air Command.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I heard that the thing had devices on it so it would self-destruct, the latest I was hearing on this. And, all of this is just, word of mouth. I mean, I haven't seen anything physical. I haven't heard anything or, outright. I mean, just kind of hearing things here and there. But, like I said, I don't put this beyond the United States to use this trying to drum up war with China. And not only that, prep everybody for, a balloon was in the air and an EMP went off. Now we're in martial law and full-on government crackdown. I can see that. That's what I'm saying. I don't know which side's going to move first. If the deep state, the secret government running the United States, or a world power. Like you said, the Russian thing, that's heavy. Because, if now they can strike deep into the heart of Russia. I mean, we've seen a few, what do you want to call it, markets in Russia proper getting blown up. That was purportedly by drones. So now Russia has come out, and has made numerous warnings. Hey, we are not playing around. We are serious. And if, things don't turn in the directions for which they should turn, they are de-Satanizing the world, is what the Russians say. They are really fighting Nazis in Ukraine. People may think that that's, a bunch of, just whatever talk. But hey, man, no. Nazis and the Bandera, all that stuff.
What do you make of the loss of the Russian submarine, Dmitry Donskoy?
So that incident was up and off the Bering Straits, right, or the Bering Sea, if I'm not mistaken,
yes.
Right? Okay. So what I believe happened is there were two submarines that engaged each other. Very possibly. And, the Russian submarine got destroyed.
The Donskoy was the world's largest nuclear sub.
It was probably strategically taken out.
If it was taken out, you got to wonder about the collateral damage to the environment.
Right.
We're talking about a nuclear sub.
Right. I think it... there's a lot of misconceptions about, nuclear this and radiation that, but still to the effect of it, I mean, we've got a nuclear power plant that's still melting down into the Pacific Ocean, Fukushima Daiichi. And we've had numerous military tests conducted, in the Pacific. But I would think, all of this is being done for one reason and one reason only, and that's in my own opinion, terraforming, but that's a totally other broadcast, But we see this, this happening. Now, let's even get into some more furtherance of nuclear threat. Let's say an EMP does go off over the top of the United States of America. What happens after that? Well, the nuclear power plants that require cooling will run for a little while, as long as diesel fuel is able to get to them. But once the diesel fuel runs out and the cooling stops, we'll start to have massive meltdowns across the entire nation. and 3/4 of these nuclear power plants are way past their expiration date. Their expiration dates were like 1965, 1968, you know, and things like that, to where even their containment cores made of concrete are cracking. These are facts. Nobody talks about it. It's always just swept under the rug, you know, keep it hush, hush, keep it hidden. Like I said, all these nuclear detonations that have been done, not only in the face of the planet, from Eniwetok to Bikini Atoll to, you know, Zarbamba up there in the, I want to say up the Urals, right? I think that's where they tested that. I may be wrong. But all these have laid consequential effect to humanity. Everybody wonders, why is cancer exploding? Well, I mean, there's multiple angles to this, but the radiation from all the nuclear bombs and nuclear accidents that have happened and continue to happen unabated, you know, is part and factor to this. You know, I mean, why do they call, man, I'm, you know, people, why do they call where the World Trade Center, you know, 9/11, where them two towers fell, what do they call it? Ground Zero. What is Ground Zero? Well, that's right. Ground Zero is where they detonated a nuclear bomb. You know, the granite underneath them two buildings was vitrified, and it was melted for like a week and a half, and you know, and until it cooled down. So why did they put a pond or a water display over the top of it? That's right, to keep the radiation down. You know, it just takes common sense, Dave, and looking and researching and understanding where things really are, where they're headed, and what's going to happen. We've been doing it for quite some time, have we not?
Yeah, I can't help but revert back to the Deagle report, and they call for a 90%, actually it's about an 88% casualty rate in America. And we're touching on this territory now because if an EMP were to be detonated mid-continent United States, we'd lose everything in terms of power. And the Naval War College has done extensive studies on this, and they said that within 2 years, 90% of the population would be dead.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and by waterborne pathogens nonetheless. And, you know, I mean, what would somebody do that's just, you know, absolutely, totally, unbound layman, the full-on layman out there that does not know, you know, his rear end from a hole in the ground, you know, well, we're out of water. Where are we going to get water at? Well, no, let's go drink the water sitting out in the, you know, ditch line across the road. Or, you know, look at that pond. There's a pond over there, but I mean, you know, in all honesty, it's very stagnant. There's no movement to it. You know, you probably better not drink out of it. You know, people don't know what to look for. And they're just, you know, out of, you know, desperation. I mean, what are you going to do if you're in New York City, okay? You're in the middle of New York City. Escape New York City, right?
Yeah, there you go.
If, you know, the only, you know, water, well, I mean, if it rains...
Acid rain, yeah. I know. I hear you.
I mean, it's, you know, and then people consuming that. I mean, it's not good where we're at. And it's, like I say, and I state all the time, saying that, you know, the reason why we're at where we're at and why what's going on is going on is because back in the day, people failed to take action to stop things from happening as they were going on. But they were hidden pretty good.
I have a more simple explanation. You know, we let the Satans take over.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, look at Bohemian Grove, Bilderberg, Davos. All this, it's very satanic.
Did you see the highlights of the Grammys and the satanic worship that was going on?
You know, I have not seen any of that. I don't ever watch any of that.
I don't either. I caught it on Tucker Carlson.
I know that. Yeah. Well, I understand that. But, I mean, no, I think I've seen maybe about two or three images of, you know, people that had received awards. But I have not seen any of the performances. But I have heard, I want to say, I heard somebody speaking here of it recently.
Tucker Carlson ran, it's kind of interesting. Pfizer was the sponsor. And right. Tucker Carlson played the satanic rituals that were being performed at the Grammys.
Well, absolutely. Well, I mean, when you want to speak of satanic rituals, people need to go watch the opening to the 2012, I want to say the 2012 Olympics. That's what I want to say it was. You know, dead babies, children's in hospital beds, being injected by nurses, and this great big giant creepy, huge depiction of a giant demonic entity. I mean, this is serious stuff. I mean, these are rituals that are conducted. The same thing as the rituals that were conducted over there at CERN, at Goddard Tunnel. Or Goddard Tunnel, one or the other. I think it's Goddard, but nonetheless, and they draw energy from these ceremonies. And I would assume it's the same thing as a ceremony as detonating a nuclear device, right? Mm-hmm. Is detonating, a nuclear device, anybody that would be outside that would see that would likely fall to their knees. Anything does happen, don't look at the bright light.
I don't even know where you'd be safe. I used to feel I'd know. If you had a choice of where to be when the U.S. is attacked by ICBMs, where would you want to go?
I don't know. I'd say, if there was able to have foreknowledge and able to get out of the country and have a passport and all that and not be stopped by TSA or whatever, or Norway or somewhere up there, somewhere up north. Personally, yeah, like for Svalbard or something like that is where I would want to be.
I'd go?
Go ahead.
I'd go to D.C. And before you go, are you nuts? I would go to where our enemies have their best allies.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, I'm saying it a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but there may be some truth in that. Right.
Well, I saw a really interesting video here not too long ago, and it was caught from the ISS, the International Space Station. And it showed all kinds of what purported to be, craft flying to Antarctica. I'll have to see if I can find this. It was caught by a guy on YouTube called Mr. BBB or something to that extent. He does these aerial phenomenon videos. And he has people send things in to him. And I caught this. And I get purportedly all the objects for which they are or whatever they were. And they were moving at different speeds and rates and different trajectories a little bit. But they were all going in the same direction. And it was purportedly to Antarctica is what what they were saying for direction-wise. But, that would not be another aspect of being a safe place on the planet, if something like that were to happen, it's the South Pole.
Admiral Byrd's diary says he was told never to go back there.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things there. There's entities there. I've heard of reports of C-130 pilots, flying over the barren landscape and seeing saucers going and coming from in and out of openings in the ground. These are embedded C-130 pilots and crew members that have come out and spoken a little bit in anonymity, but to be factual, it's very real. It's very true. And they say, they don't want these aircraft to fly over one specific area. Well, because we're doing air sampling testing there. Okay. Well, one of these times they had to go pick up somebody that was injured or dying or sick or something, and they had to fly in to go get this person instead of flying out, 300 miles all the way around this, no fly zone. They went through it to get to, the destination to pick up the emergency to get them back. And the reason, after as they're doing this, they looked up the window and they're seeing things down below that were just absolutely, beyond belief.
Yeah, I've read the accounts from the diary of Byrd. They were pretty remarkable. Let me ask you, I want to rephrase the question. Okay, all hell breaks loose. If you were confined to the domestic United States and couldn't get out of the country, where would you go then?
Thanks for coming back to that. That's where I wanted to go with that, with it as well. Boy, you'd have to, be able, you would first have to be able to make sure you've got enough supplies and stuff to carry, you know, in person to last for a little while. But you would have to find a fallout shelter. And people, you know, I'll tell you, Dave, there's probably about two generations that have absolutely, utterly no idea what a fallout shelter symbol is, right? So, and even onto the top of it, I mean, they've taken a lot of the symbols down, haven't they? Where a fallout shelter used to be or would have been at one time or still is. You know, I know we're about, I want to say, I know where two are in the local area that I that could very well possibly be gotten to, that I could get to. Another aspect would be caves or mines. But that's another thing I've been noticing too, is these quarries and these gravel or, you know, these mines, after they're, you know, they blow in the entrances, they destroy the entrances, which obviously, you know, rightfully so. You don't want somebody wandering down into the, you know, mine, but still it adds to the effect, well, you know, are they preparing for something to keep people from being able to access this area to be safe?
Well, I know a little bit about this if you'd like to hear it.
Sure.
One of my partners in, at least for a while, in fighting against the John McCain takeover of my property rights and that of my neighbors, he had a brother that was with one of the agencies, I won't say which one, for obvious reasons, and his job was to go around and destroy entrances to anything that could be used as refuge.
Wow.
And this would have been 15 years ago when I found this out.
Well, there have been some big mines that mine gravel or stone in the area. And, I mean, they're big mines, and they shut them down, and they blew in the entrances. You know, I mean, you can't, they're inaccessible now. So that's wild. I mean, that means that everything is being set up to happen, and that, you know, this is a kill grid. When they start doing that, shutting everything off, not allowing anybody to get to any form of refuge, if anything's possible, and then they're starting, then they put up all kinds of microwave antenna weapons across the entire nation.
It's called 5G.
Yeah, well, right, you know, but people are like, microwave antenna radiation weapons, what are you talking about? Oh, you know, them big towers that have them great big panels off the side of them, you know, cell phone towers, right? Those are that's a kill grid. People, I've been warned about this for a long time, and I know I'm right. And you know, the only time that people will believe anything is when it happens. You know, I think that's part and parcel. You know, like get back to Deagle. You know, let's say everybody's in bed, sleeping sound and soft and soundly one night, and they decide to turn on the microwave weapons. You know. Full blast and just cooks everybody in their sleep. You know, I'm going to tell you, these bastards, excuse the language, have thought about such things, and they're conducting such operations, and they're moving in such ways to cull and depopulate the earth. That's what this whole shot's about. COVID-19, well, that was just to scare the ever-living God out of everybody to go get the actual bioweapon, of which is the shot. You know, I mean,
well,
people better wake up, Dave.
I don't know what I know. Listen, I'm not doubting what you're saying here. Let me throw some poop on the pile here, okay? The interview's coming out, gosh, in 2 days on the CommonSenseShow.tv. And I interviewed Chris Kitsy, and I've had Chris on, and he has groundbreaking stuff. And he has a background I can't talk about. So let's just say he's in the positions to know. And Chris showed video of massive COVID quarantine concentration camps. Massive. I mean, as far as the eye could see. His sources tell him that they first started to eliminate the people who didn't have cell phones, the useless eaters. They couldn't call out and say what was happening to them. They were the first ones to be welded into their apartments, which we saw. He actually showed video of that going on too.
Right.
And he even showed video of people struggling not to be taken to these containers. And his information says 400 million Chinese have been killed. It's a
Oh,
deliberate
absolutely.
depopulation move on the part of the government. And he does think that what is going on there in China right now is more deadly than COVID or more deadly than what came here. But he doesn't know a lot about it. But the videos were unmistakable. The commonsenseshow.tv will be showing these. Now, people say, and John, I think you'll find this interesting, and this whole thing is related. This discussion is just not about war in Ukraine and long-range missiles and stuff, because this is all connected. Back in 2008, actually 2009, when Obama first came into power, I started writing about the ESF regulations 8 through 14. And what they were there was regulations for confinement, quarantine confinement, in facilities that had a lot of detail. And this emanated from a George W. Bush executive order, and then Obama modified the executive order. And they could basically take you away for a sniffle, a cough, you could have asthma, and they could take you away. The specific symptoms were nondescript, very broad, so they had a wide range of situations they could take people away on.
Oh,
Well,
you got a sore throat? You're coming with us.
yeah, exactly. So let me tell you what I discovered. The plan was originated by HHS with the consultation of the UN, surprise, surprise. And they then set up a 17-member panel to assist. And they had phenomenal details about how they would capture people and transport them to the camps. I mean, just exquisite detail about how it would happen. But once they started talking about the camps, the discussion became very general and very vague. And here's the telling thing, okay, and this is where people will go, oh my goodness. There were 17 federal agencies associated with this HHS project. Not one of them, not one, was medical. They had no CDC, no NIH. It was FBI, DHS, DOD. Everything was military related. Nothing was medical.
Well, it
These
makes
are
sense.
extermination camps. So let me link this back into
Right.
what Chris said. And this is just a small part of our hour and a half presentation. In China, if you want to get out of your locked-in apartment, you have to take a COVID test, self-administered, and you can't show red on your phone screen. And if you show green, you can leave. And then you have to be tested again before you go into a supermarket or some other public store. And then you have to be tested again to go back home. It's absolutely incredible what they put you through. What they started to do is what Chris said was the people who were on the red list, a red list, green list, blue list.
Right.
Okay, the people that were on the enemies of the state red list would automatically have their screens turned red. And they're the ones that were rounded up second. The first, like I said, were the undesirables, the useless eaters that didn't even have cell phones. The
Let me tell
the
you,
second was the
Dave,
red list. Go ahead.
I've got to add to this. Care.ai, remember we were talking about this a year or so
Yes.
ago? The applications were there. It looks like a tablet or a cell phone, a big cell phone. You go into the hospital or someplace, and they want you to put your face in the screen so I can, for one, take a screenshot, a mugshot of you. And it says it's going to read your temperature. Now, get this, Dave. It's kind of scary just to think of it, but nonetheless, going into the hospital to see my dad and dad there a couple years ago. And I was stopped by this old lady to help, told me to put my face in this machine. I go, well, you know how Orwellian that is, right? And she kind of chuckled. I was like, well, whatever. I want to go see my dad. I'll look into the damn machine. So I look into the machine, and I didn't have a temperature. I'm sure of it. It came back like with a temperature of like 103 degrees. I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird for one. But get this, the color red. As that happened, the whole screen turned red with my face.
That's what happened in China. And those are the people who get taken to these camps.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, I ain't going to no camp. And I'll fight tooth and nail down to the last bloody drop.
We showed video anything goes. Of people fighting to not be taken.
You know, and, you know, speaking of this, you know, they had a, I don't know if you've ever heard of Richie from Boston.
Yeah.
He was kind of a, okay, he started covering in depth these camps for which we're speaking of right now beginning to be manned. And it was military police training how to detain and keep people, you know, locked up in these camps. This isn't no joke. I mean, this is very real. And now we know why they bought 10.6 billion rounds of ammunition, a vast majority of them being hollow points.
Another thing we showed last night was, and like I said, I think this will air tomorrow. The one thing that we showed that was unnerving, they had Uyghurs, and they were tied up, and they were taken off trains to be put on another train, and they were surrounded by armed guards with machine guns, and they encircled them as they were sectioned off, and then they had a larger circle on the perimeter of Chinese guards. It looked like it was about a 1-to-3 ratio of guards to prisoners, which, you know, you're tied up, and these people have automatic weapons. There was no escape. It was reminiscent of what we saw in World War II photos of the Holocaust. That, I mean, right there, I looked at it, I go, my gosh, we're looking at Nazi Germany. And this is China. And what goes on in China, social credit, comes to America.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Uyghurs. It's absolutely abominable and abhorrent, but the unfortunately, these people are being used for organ harvesting, and I'm going to tell you, they don't give anybody a shot to knock them out or anything. They just take the person, strap them to a table, and begin cutting. And I've seen a couple videos of this.
Yeah, I have too.
After they're done cutting them, they take them and then throw them just, you know, just willy-nilly on the top of a bed of ice. So
they, I asked Chris the question in the interview. I said, imagine it's a good repository for organs. And he said, well, a lot of these people that get taken there are not infected. They are enemies of the state, so they frame them with their smart technology. And he said, yep. Those are the ones that have their organs taken. So, yeah, it's a big organ racket.
You know, I mean, I haven't spoken anything of it, but there is another video that had surfaced, and it showed a bunch of dead babies in some kind of a containment pit decaying and rotting. And the only thing I can think of is, for whatever reason, the Chinese have this going on to like this. I mean, it's almost beyond anything I've ever seen. I mean, it's beyond anything I've ever seen. I think. I mean, I've seen some pretty darn gnarly bad stuff videos that have happened, you know, of extremely horrid things, you know, cartel type things and all this stuff. In my research, of course, trying to research all of this. But this video of these dead babies in this containment facility, and they have like a tarp over the top of it. And this guy is in there, and he's videotaping this. And you can tell that, you know, he's not supposed to really be in here doing it, especially videotaping it above all things. But he goes and goes to leave the facility, but it looked like it was underground somewhere. And we know that the Chinese, you know, they believe in specific things and medicines, and you know, you can take something that's dead and wait till you know it's all powdery and grind it up and put it into things. You know, that, I mean, that this is China. You know, that's I'm not off course in my
day. No, not at all. But see, what people don't realize, we're talking about China, but we'll be talking about America in the same light. As you indicated, right. There are camps that are already armed, and we've seen the videos. Jesse Ventura covered some of it on a show, oh my gosh, what, 13 years ago now? Remember that show, the FEMA camp show, was banned from all social media? Why would you ban it if it wasn't
absolutely.
true?
Exactly. You know, damage control. You know, like you can't let that get out. I mean, the same way it was with, you know, and still is, I mean, to a good extent. I mean, people can look up and find it, but field manual or FM 39.40.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Look it up. You'll be surprised.
You can look that up on the commonsensehow.tv.
Internment and resettlement operations.
Yeah, you can look that up in the commonsensehow.com and put FM 39.4 into the search box, and I've probably written about 15 articles on it.
It's you know, they've got plans. And where did they draw all these plans from? Well, a vast majority of it was the Holocaust. You know, one of the main reasons for all the people starving during the Holocaust was because all the railroads were bombed down. They couldn't get the food in there. And then, are you going to feed your troops first, or are you going to feed these prisoners? You know, it's just historical aspects that people just refuse to look at or put into the context of the conversation or talk about. You know, but I mean, not saying anything, nothing happened, but I'm going to tell you something. There's stuff that did happen, and it was absolutely horrible. I mean, when you're watching videos up back from back then, 1944, you know, late 44, early 45, where they've got bulldozers. I mean, it was after the war, more or less. I mean, or after they've freed the camps and the Allies have officially moved through. And they've got bulldozers pushing piles of dead bodies. I'm telling you, bulldozers pushing piles of dead bodies. You know, people that deny that and say, discount that, well, that didn't happen. How the hell did it not happen? You don't see
well,
it?
Well, I'll tell you this. We've already done the beta test for the FEMA camps. During Jade Helm 16, I don't even know if you know this or not. But
Jade Helm 15 and 16.
15
go
and
ahead.
16, but it was 15 primarily. In Florida and also in California, white vans abducted homeless people, and they took them to facilities and they experimented on them.
You know, I think I sent you a video. This is before we were in formal contact. And it entailed a man sitting outside one of these safety or security shelters during that massive deluge that hit Houston here about a handful of years ago. And he's sitting outside in the rain with his dog. And it's just absolutely pouring. You know, it's like a hurricane or something to that extent. And was it Hurricane? I don't know, Ivan. But as this is happening, the reporter comes up and says, "Hey, why aren't you inside with everybody? You know, getting warm and you know and everything." He goes, "Well, I opened up the door and I looked in there, and they's killing everybody. So I figured I'd better, man. I'd just sit out here." You remember that video?
I do. They also had facilities for. I'm sorry. I had to unmute myself because I've been coughing. Anyway,
I've been doing the same thing in the background.
I remember when Jesse Ventura and Alex Jones went FEMA camp hunting, and they found a facility, and the people were just freaked out that they were even there. And you could see in the background they had swing sets and play material for kids. Yep. So they had camps for kids, too. It was pretty disturbing to see. I had a friend named Sherry. She has a website. I don't think you can access it anymore. It's for if she knows you, you get in. It's called Sherry Questioning All. And I used to have her on my show quite a bit. This would have been 11, 12 years ago. And she went hunting for FEMA camps about the same time. And she didn't find any. But what she found, and I actually put this on my website, she found coffins that housed four people shot. And there were probably about 50,000 of them on a remote road about 50 miles outside Atlanta.
That's right.
So,
I mean, there's facilities. You know, there's a vast majority of them. They're not, you know, out blatantly in front of everybody's face. I mean, there are some that are, you know, But a lot of these are really tucked back up in the, you know, up in the woods a little bit, and they got a railroad track, you know, going by, and you know, some of these even have a, you know, their own facilities for airports or the ability for air. So I mean, it's really something to watch. And
what you
see, I mean, it's
what you see a lot of though, John, people. Is in these facilities that are adjacent to train tracks. There was, can I remember the name of the Texas city? I think it was Odessa. And there were some Walmarts that were closed there, but they really weren't closed. I had a guy who was sending me photos, and I published these on our website back in, I think it was Jade Helm 15. It was either 15 or 16. And they were bringing in people at night. We concluded right. It was a way station where they would take political prisoners or whoever they were gathering up, and they'd take them to Walmart at night, entrance, underground facility, board them on a train, and go. And this was a closed Walmart. And this guy was taking pictures of this. And that was a really high-energy time for me. I got threatened for running it. I attracted the attention of a DEA agent that wanted to give me all the details, which he did. So people can actually look that up, use the search terms on our website, but I was covering all this stuff at that time. Another thing that they did that I think speaks to what's coming in this country is they conducted anti-guerrilla operations in the state of Texas. They just did this too with Operation Robin Sage in North Carolina last year. And what they described, the people, they hired crisis actors to play, and I quote, ex-U.S. military guerrilla chieftains. So in other words, people who were disaffected from the military that were in some kind of rebellion against the government. And they went out and they captured these people. Now, I had a lieutenant colonel contact me during this time, and he was at Fort Bragg. And you'll like this one, John. He and other high command officers were brought in, and they witnessed a mock interrogation. And in the interrogation, they would have like 10 people lined up and blindfolded, tell us where your troops are kind of question. And then they would pretend to shoot one guy in the back of the head and go to number two, go to number three. And these guys were out by the way, too, they did it with family members, too. Now, these were mock executions. They weren't real. But this lieutenant colonel told me that when they were out in the courtyard afterwards, they concluded the following. We know all these techniques of interrogation. These are simple Simon stuff. And one guy said, well, why do you think they're having us watch it? He goes, it wasn't about us watching them. It was about them watching our responses. They wanted to see who would be compliant and agree to do such things. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is what's coming to our country. This is what's here. Go ahead.
It goes to show you. I mean, remember the non-hesitation targets, you know, a pregnant woman standing there holding her belly with a whole, you know, pistol in her hand, or you know, or a child at her feet, or whatever
DHS,
the case may be, or grandma.
Yeah.
Or grandma wearing a pink bathrobe holding a shotgun, or you know, stuff like that. I mean, it's very real. Are you able to see this image of what I've got going up here, Dave?
No, I can't see it. Sorry.
I'll have to send it to you. I'm sharing it on Skype. I didn't know if you'd be able to see it.
Oh, I can see it now. But, yeah, come up.
Okay. So I stumbled upon this, and this is in the extremely general local area to where I'm at. And here's one of these facilities, I believe, is what I'm seeing there. And guess what's next door over here? Oh, that's right. An airport. You know? And over here, I just noticed this here. They must have updated the telemetry data. They're now building the same things over here. Now, to describe it for people listening, this is basically what would be the layout of a FEMA camp.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. I see the three big white buildings, and then minor barracks. Yeah.
One road in.
One road in.
One road out.
Yeah, one road in, one road out. You're exactly right. I see a guard gate, or what appears to be a guard gate, on the north side. Okay. Pretty interesting, isn't it? We get about 30 seconds to tell people how to listen to your show.
Yes, sir. Folks, every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the unequivocal truth, DEFCON 1, freedomslips.org, freedomslips.net, and revolution.radio.
Yeah, very good. What we've covered today, interesting. Ukraine war, provocation for, shall we say, expansion, and then EMP threat, nuclear threat, and subjugation of U.S. citizens, courtesy of Chris Kitsky's good work in China, because it's coming here, folks. We have the facilities just like they have them there. I'll tell you, John, when they go see that video at the commonsenseshow.tv, they're going to say, holy crap, that looks just like it's in America, except for Chinese manning it. On that note, my friend, we are out of time. We got a bit ado. For my guest, John Wayne, this is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show. I want to thank you for joining us, and we'll see you back here again next time. Thanks, John.
Godspeed.